This is the Evil Never Dies podcast with Brett and Carl. This podcast may contain adult themes, violence, and strong language. Listener discretion is advised.
The Evil Never Dies podcast.
Welcome back to the Evil Never Dies podcast. What episode is this? 213 or something, since we didn't do the midweek this week?
You said you weren't keeping track of episodes anymore, so I don't know.
I think it's 213 anyway.
Well, now we're keeping up with them again?
Yeah, might as well. It's 213 or 212 or fuck.
Look at my.
Yeah, I know, dude.
Look at that.
That's awful. The old bloody eye.
Yep. I had to go to the doctor to make sure it wasn't nothing bad. Busted a blood vessel. If y'all remember the show last week, I seemed probably lethargic. Well, it turns out, apparently I got a slight concussion and I busted a blood vessel in my eye falling off that red stool. So I give myself credit for doing the show after falling off the stool, because I really don't even remember what we even did last week, honestly. That was bad. That was a bad fall.
Yeah, it was.
I got a good bloody eye out of it, at least. So,
well, and you didn't even tell me before you came on. You just got on, you said, I fell. I was like, fuck. But anyway, I hope you're good, man.
Oh, I'm great now. Yeah.
So are you drinking your birthday present?
Yeah, Brett bought me some Gold Slager. It's ice cold too, so I appreciate you, Brett, for that.
No problem, brother. Happy birthday. Appreciate you, man, for all you do.
Yeah, I got all my Christmas stuff out, as y'all can see behind me and around me, and we got Huggy Wuggy in this corner. We got Paul Stanley sitting here, so we got a little bit of a new setup.
I forgot to show last week.
Yeah.
Got somebody back.
Who's back?
Back in our possession.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to bring him back. Yeah. That is the famous
original beaver from Moxley Manor. He is my buddy.
Yeah. Brett has missed that thing for years.
Where's my beaver?
Yeah, we did for a lot of shit, dude. Like I said, I really don't remember even doing the show last week. Honestly, that was a bad fall. I told you, was it Matt? One of the kids, I said, I fell off the red stool, and they said, you're not supposed to be on the red stool. So, yeah.
Sounds like you need to buy another stool and keep that one just for memories.
maybe so.
Put it in the other room or something, so you don't have the urge to even climb on it.
Well, it's infamous because of my grandmother's stool, and I sit on it when I was a little kid, and all the kids sit on it, and now the grandbabies all sit on it when they were little. So it does have a lot of value, but I don't think I need to stand on it anymore. I was trying to fix the Christmas tree because my dumbass bought a topper for it, but it looked like the Christmas tree. You couldn't really tell it was a topper, and it looked stupid without lights. So I was trying to string lights around the topper to make it look better, and that's when the fall happened.
That's when it all the shit.
I got an all Christmas mood for some reason this year.
Well, that's good. You don't need to be a Grinch every year.
No, this year I'm not. Well, wait a minute. I even bought this thing. It's a gingerbread man.
Oh, no. It looks like Mr. Bill.
Oh, I am a Grinch. I am going to keep doing it. He called me a monster.
Oh, no.
So yeah, we got all kinds of Christmas shit around here.
That's cool.
So yeah, it's Christmas time in the Count Karabi Museum, but everything has a horror element to it, except the tree, actually. It's pretty cool. The big tree, you can't see it from here. It's all in those real bright white lights, and the top of it is in black little bulbs, and the bottom is in white little bulbs. So it's kind of cool. The Christmas tree, which I only have one kiss ornament, is in red, and I was going to put some gold bulbs on it, but I was waiting for Brett to get back from Juliet's Christmas show, and I forgot to do the red bulbs.
Yes, she had her second Christmas show this tonight. It was awesome. She did such a good job. They did the Grinch.
Oh, good deal.
So yeah, she did a really good job. Did all of her moves right and everything, and
that's always important.
The,
yeah.
The kid next to her had the microphone, and I just seen the look in her eyes. She wanted to grab that microphone for her. But she didn't. So yeah, it was a good time. So she did a really good job. Very proud of her. So anyway, enough of that. Let's what are we doing tonight, Carl? This is your pick.
Okay, so Brad has been asking me for months. We need to do a werewolf movie, preferably an 80s werewolf movie, I think is where he was going. Kept mentioning The Howling. The Howling is a good effects movie, but I always found it boring as a kid, and I don't really care for The Howling. Then there's the old American Werewolf in London, which again has got some really good special effects, but it's just not my favorite movie. And it's not that I wouldn't give them good reviews. It's just sometimes I don't like movies. I don't want to watch them. I don't hate the movies. I don't dislike the movies. I just don't want to deal with them anymore. I've seen them too many times or whatever the situation is. There's plenty of movies involving werewolves, and I picked one from 1985 as a kid was my favorite werewolf movie. It doesn't have good effects. It doesn't like The Howling or the American Werewolf in London where, you know, you see the monster all cool. It is Silver Bullet. It's a Stephen King novel that they turned into a movie. And that is what we're going to review tonight, is Silver Bullet. And again, I'm sort of biased because it was one of my favorite movies as a kid. And I was sort of curious as to what I would think of it in this day and age. And I actually got it on a 4K disc now from the Scream Factory, of course.
Awesome.
They put everything out there. Paramount and them are now putting out stuff. So, yeah, you want to do a werewolf movie? We'll do Silver Bullet because to me, of the 80s werewolf movies, it was the best one, albeit it's a very cheesy movie, but it's a good cheesy movie.
Yep.
And before we start, I'll give a little bit of an input on Silver Bullet. A lot of these shows, they got it now on Netflix and various things that are retro 80s is what I would call it, like the Stranger Things, and even maybe the new Ghostbuster movie. Well, this movie is retro 80s as you're ever going to find. It is just absolutely reeks of the 80s, and that's part of its legacy, I think. So all these copycats, Silver Bullet is one of the influences on them. That's my opinion, at least.
Yeah, even though it took place in 1976.
Well,
still
it's
seems
all 80s.
Sort of 80s, yeah. So, all right, let's get into it here.
Let's do.
Silver Bullet was directed by Dan Attias, and this was his one and only movie that he ever directed. He did like some soap operas and stuff like that that he worked on as a writer, I guess. Written by Stephen King, based on his novella, Cycle of the Werewolf.
What is a novella?
Novella, it's like a short novel, I guess. Short story, more or less, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Produced by Martha De Laurentiis. Narrated by Tova Feldsa. However you say that. Cinematography by Armando Namuzzi.
You butcher the shit out of these names.
I know. I know I do. I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Edited by Daniel Lowenthal. Music by Jay Chataway. And when this movie first starts out, it sounds like the theme music to Forrest Gump when Forrest Gump starts. It's almost identical.
Well, this movie came first, so I guess Forrest Gump ripped it off.
I guess so. Production companies, Dino De Laurentiis Company and Famous Films, distributed by Paramount Pictures. It was released on October 11th, 1985, with a running time of 95 minutes. United States is the country, English language. Budget was $7 million. Any idea on what they made at the box office?
I did not look that up, but I don't think it made a lot of money.
Right around 12 and a half, so they made their money back and then some, but it didn't do awesome, you know, like they were probably expecting.
No, it became more of a cult film, I think.
But it didn't even, that was worldwide, and North America had only made $5.4 million, so. Yeah, so they didn't even make their money back from the U.S. profits on it. So, all righty, a little bit of production here. It was shot in and around Wilmington, North Carolina, and filming began in October of 1984, finishing shortly before Christmas. And in Stephen King's novella, the werewolf was said to talk basically like it with a snarl.
Yeah, it was supposed to be more like the wolf man.
Yeah,
sort of the Lon Chaney Jr. wolf man. It was supposed to be sort of a half man, half wolf.
Exactly.
They did not do that in the movie.
Exactly. They're supposed to speak in the movie too, but they didn't like it. And Dino De Laurentiis didn't like it either. He didn't like a lot of things about this movie. One of them being the werewolf creature itself.
Yeah, the werewolf creature. Again, this is around the time that The Howling and The American Werewolf in London came out. And this werewolf looked like a black bear, everybody's decided.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
And they were not impressed.
No, especially Dino De Laurentiis. He wanted to change it, but the effects guy, Carlo Rambaldi, and Stephen King said, nope, they refused to change it.
And I'm glad they didn't, because I think it made the movie better.
Well, they threatened to cancel the whole film if they weren't going to be able to do it the way they wanted to. So
I agree. I think the werewolf looks fine. It's practical effects. And I like it.
Yep.
I don't have an issue with it. Is it cheesy? Yeah, it's a little cheesy. But watching this movie, it's fun, cheesy movie.
Well, when you finally got to see him, he wasn't that bad of looking of a werewolf, really.
No, but I think, I don't know. I think they did change it a bit for that part. Maybe, I don't know. No, I thought he was a cool looking werewolf. I mean, shit, the best looking werewolf ever is the damn Lon Chaney Jr. werewolf.
I think so too, for sure.
That's on the wall up here. And shit, that was you know, you don't have to have the damn howling effects to make a werewolf look cool. Unless you get into the modern age and go to the Underworld movies, and those werewolves are bad fucking ass. But
yeah,
that was a way later date.
Yeah. They actually hired a modern dance actor to perform the stunts as the werewolf. But again, De Laurentiis was very unhappy with his performance, so he stomped his foot down and said, change it. So as a result, the actor Everett McGill, who we'll get to here in a little bit, he Ended up playing the werewolf throughout the whole film and was credited with a dual role, actually. So
interesting.
All right, let's go over the cast here. First, we got Gary Busey as Uncle Red.
And this was pre-injury Gary Busey, not to make fun of the guy, but I'm just saying. This movie shows that Gary Busey was a little kind of goofy before he ever got hurt. So people want to make fun of the dude. He's still himself in many ways.
Yep. Let's talk about buttered sausage.
That's not.
But he did a good job in this movie, I thought.
Well, he ad-libbed almost the whole movie.
Yeah, exactly. They actually, basically the whole film was actually shot twice. Once with him reading the actual lines off the script and then ad-libbing, and they decided to keep the ad-lib part. So,
yeah, Stephen King was a big fan of that.
Yep. All right, Everett McGill, like we talked about just a second ago, as Reverend Lowe and the werewolf.
You just spoiled the whole movie, you bastard. Now I'm mad.
Next, we got Corey Haim as Marty Coat Froshaw. Coleslaw.
You ruined the movie, you bastard.
And what did you think of Corey Haim's performance in this movie?
Isn't he the one that's dead?
Yeah, he's dead now. Yeah.
I thought he did good in everything he did when he was a kid, when he became an adult, when he turned into a freak.
Yeah, exactly.
The other Corey was the weirdo. I don't know how he didn't end up dead, but he didn't.
Oh.
No, he did a good job. He actually plays disabled kid in it. And
he did a very good job.
Spoiler note, he actually has a wheelchair that's called, what is it, Brett?
The Silver Bullet.
And that's the name of the movie.
Two of them, actually. So,
yep.
All right, next we got Megan Follows as Jane Coslaw, which is his sister.
Perfect 80s girl for a movie like that. Just looks very, what kids look like in the 80s. Exactly. In the 80s, kids didn't look like they do now. They all look like they're like 30 years old and shit.
Yeah. She looked like your typical 15-year-old girl in the late 70s, 80s. For
yes,
sure.
She did.
Next, we got Terry O'Quinn as Sheriff Joe Holler. And you know who he is, don't you? What he's played in. He's played in all kinds of stuff.
Buck Rogers.
And he was on Lost and what was that show he was in? That spinoff of the X-Files with what's his name? Oh, Millennium. Yeah, he was in that too.
He was in Millennium, you're right.
Yeah, he did a good job in that show, that's for sure. Next, we got Bill Smitrovich as Andy Fairton. Robin Groves as Nan Coslaw. Leon Rassan as Bob Coslaw, which is Marty and Jane's parents. Lawrence Tierney as Owen Knoppler.
I liked his role.
Yeah. Kent Broadhurst as Herb Kincaid. Heather Simmons as Tammy Stumfuller. And James Bafico as Mitt Stumfuller.
Bafico?
Yep. Bafico.
Yeah.
Baffico. Bafico.
I can't say your last name, so I ain't got enough to comment.
And we got Joe Wright as Brady Kincaid, who was Marty's best friend. And like I said earlier, Tova Fedshu provided the narration as the voice of the adult Jane.
She did indeed.
All right. You got anything else you want to add before we go over some trivia?
Don't I usually have some kind of comments before you do trivia?
Yeah, you
do. Oh, yeah, you're supposed to make me do the plot of the movie. You forgot.
Yeah, the plot. Yeah, do the plot.
Okay, so you said it was the 70s, but it looked like the 80s to me. I don't know.
Set in 76.
Well, it looks like it's set in 86. They fucked that up. But anyway, old drunk dude apparently gets run over by a train. I think he's mangled at death. So the sheriff says he's hit by a train, but people aren't believing it. So Corey, is it him? Which one? Which Corey of the Corey's Haynes. Is it? Yeah.
Which
he
Corey?
Starts going around saying it's a werewolf, and nobody believes him. Him and his best friend also like to tease and mess with his older sister. And of course, like we said, he's disabled, so he gets away with a lot of stuff from his parents. But he's got this really cool freaking uncle who builds all kinds of stuff for him, like the wheelchairs. But he's also an alcoholic and been divorced 3 times. So,
yeah.
And that would be Gary Busey's role. So as the movie progresses, more people
start.
He had
a cool car, too. He had that little MG midget car.
Indeed. As the movie progresses, more people start turning up dead and mauled, and the townspeople get pissed off, and they're ready for some street justice. So they're going to go find whoever's doing all the killings, and more people die at the hands of a werewolf who looked like a brown bear, but that's neither black bear. That's neither here nor there. Like I said, it's a very practical effect. I thought it worked, and that's my synopsis of this movie. I will not spoil it. Hopefully you did not catch Brett's spoiler earlier in it, as he ruined the whole movie. And a lot of people might not have seen Silver Bullet, honestly. It's sort of an under-the-radar cult movie at this stage.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen it in probably a long time, maybe since it came out. But I do remember going to see this in the theater when it came out.
Yeah, yeah, it's sort of fallen out of flavor, I guess, in the last 25, 30 years. So that's my synopsis of Silver Bullet. There is a werewolf in it. He's for reals.
For reals?
The kid's not making up stuff. It's really for reals werewolf, even though he looks like a bear, but that's okay.
All right. Let's get into some trivia here. Story takes place in Tarker's Mills, and it's another fictional town of Stephen King's in the Stephen King universe. It borders the locations of other King's works adapted to the film, such as Chester's Mill from Under the Dome. Have you seen that?
Under the Dome was terrible. That was one of the worst TV series I ever saw in my life.
I love that show, dude.
Hated it with a passion. I didn't even get it to the end. I gave up on it. It was so
really?
Bad.
I like
pure,
it.
Pure, absolute, utter shit of a TV show.
I liked it.
You would.
And next we got Derry from the It movie. Castle Rock from Needful Things, Cujo, and Pet Sematary, among others. The werewolf dream sequence utilized a total of 70 extras that were divided into 4 groups with various levels of makeup and costume. These range from approximately 10 principal actors used for close-ups and action shots, having the most refined looks. When the remainders were just made to appear menacing and fill up the rest of the church to give it that full house appearance. That was a cool scene, though.
Very cool scene. It actually used some of the modern stuff in the movie, so thought it was cool as shit.
They were a month and a half into production before they even had a werewolf suit. And then only...
Yeah. You can film a lot of stuff without the werewolf. So, yeah, that's not a big deal.
Yeah. All right. Let's see some of the stuff we've already talked about here. Let's see. I guess they were still building the making the werewolf suit, because they say it took 3 months. So they must have started it a month and a half before they started filming, and it wasn't finished till a month and a half in. So,
well, it was an actual suit. It wasn't any kind of computer animations or nothing.
Exactly.
I don't know how they made the werewolf and the howling, but it's overrated. The effects are good, but the movie is just boring as fuck.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a slow story. We'll do it eventually.
You'll have to get me drunk to do that one. And again, I don't hate The Howling. I just find it a boring, slow burn of a movie. And all those sequels are terrible.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't a big fan of the sequels, for sure. They use actual black bear hair for this, too.
Well, fuck, I guess that's why it looks like a black bear, then.
Yep. Let's see. The head of the costume was mechanically operated by 6 people from a distance of up to 30 feet away.
That's neat.
So, yeah. That's crazy, man, because back then they used the wires and shit to do that shit. That's crazy. All right, let's see here. In the cycle of the werewolf, the story on which the film is based, the events take place over the course of a year. A murder was committed by the werewolf once a month when the moon turned full. In the film, the murders occurred over the course of several months from spring to autumn. Let's see here. After Brady's father mentions the cemetery Harmony Hill. This is another tie in to Stephen King adaptations, particularly Salem's Lot.
I was going to say, I know what that meant.
From 1979. We're going to have to cover that too, because that's a awesome TV show for sure. I remember watching that when it came out.
Yeah.
Scared the shit out of me.
They're supposedly making another version of it.
And they're making a new Nosferatu too.
Oh, that's going to be badass.
Yeah, with Skarsgård's playing Nosferatu.
And that dude, you know, yeah, that might be one of the best movies of the decade if it's done right.
If Blumhouse don't do it, have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, as long as Blumhouse. Well, remember they did do Insidious, so they get a lot of credit for that, and then they went to shit.
Yeah.
I always thought about Insidious. So we're going to have to put that on the list and do it.
Yeah, we're going to have to get in that hole. Go down that whole
Insidious, the Conjuring. We got to finish our Dracula Hammer set, since we get so many viewers for Dracula Hammer vampire movies.
Yeah, just all of them we get good views on. This probably won't get shit either.
No, this won't get shit. Nobody's watching this, so that's why I just keep stopping and talking to you. You're missing out, people who ain't listening or watching. If you ain't gonna get to see Silver Bullet, so yeah. I actually have a Silver Bullet.
I used to have one. I used to have a necklace Silver Bullet.
I've got one right over here, actually. I could go get it, since we're just sort of
all right.
Like,
let me move it on. The Coslaw residence was a real house in Wilmington, North Carolina. Though the interiors were set on a soundstage, the house was relocated in the 90s to make way for a massive shopping center. All right.
Well, that was a waste if they built a mall there or a shopping center, because now they're all out of business.
Yeah, that was like a whole neighborhood thing they had there. The fireworks on the bridge scenes were filmed on 2 separate occasions. Excuse me, months apart. After principal photography was completed in the fall of 84, they discovered a continuity problem. The wide shots and close-up of Marty lighting the fireworks didn't match. Oh, you do get a Silver Bullet.
Look at that. I don't know if I can even show a bullet on YouTube. We may get banned for that.
Did you, ooh, it's a hollow point, too.
Yeah, it is. Fuck. It sure is a Silver
Bullet. Did you have that made?
No, I got it special ordered though.
Really? Okay.
I am ready for the werewolves that when they attack.
Oh, so you have more than one?
Oh shit, yeah, I do. I got 20 of these little bad boys.
Really? Okay, cool.
So after 20, then I'm screwed. We may have just got banned for showing a bullet on YouTube.
Are those 9mm or what are they?
No, these are fake bullets. They're not real. Oh. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, they're fake. It's just toys for the werewolf props.
Okay.
If they were real, they would be 9mm, but unfortunately, they're just toy bullets.
Anyway, back to the fireworks. They didn't match, so they returned 4 months later to redo the scenes. By then, due to the seasonal change, much of the foliage in the trees have lost their leaves. Great lengths were taken in the close-up pickup shots not to show this in the background. So that's why it was a lot of close-up scenes for that. So
makes sense.
Don Coscarelli was scheduled to direct this film.
He would have fucked it up, I think.
You think so? I think he would have done a good job.
No, I don't think he would have done good with Stephen King stuff.
But again, Dino De Laurentiis, they had creative differences, so he didn't
There's
get
my
it.
Don Coscarelli book two.
Thanks, Jimbo.
Thanks, Jimbo. Talking about Don it's sitting right there to be read as soon as ever I get free time, which may not be for another year.
The bar that the mob gathers in before searching for the werewolf is called Owen's Bar, which is named after Stephen King's son Owen. He used to do a lot of stuff like that.
He did, yeah.
Named stuff after. All right, let's see here. Oh, the actor Joe Wright, who played Brady, died in 2009 at the age of 39. Following year, Corey Haim passed away at the age of 38.
He was that old? I thought he was younger than that.
Yeah, I thought he was younger than that too, but evidently not. I thought he died earlier than that anyway.
Yeah, I think that's wrong information.
That might be a Mandela effect, something going on there.
I don't know.
Okay, I'll give you three guesses who was considered to play
Uncle
Red.
Before you go there, they made those stupid Lost Boy sequels, and he was in that at the very end. So, yeah, I don't think he did die until later on.
That's right. That's right.
So, I'm three guesses for what?
Who was considered to play Uncle Red? I'll give you three guesses who else they considered.
Okay. And they are?
No, you're supposed to guess them.
Oh, you're supposed to give me, you said you'd give me three and then I would guess it.
Okay. Let's see here.
John Ashton,
John Candy, or Arnold Schwarzenegger.
John Candy.
Yep.
He would have been great in it.
Yeah, he would have.
Him or John Madden. John Madden would have been good in that role.
As Uncle Red.
Yeah, he would have done good. I'm not joking.
This is the first horror film that Terry O'Quinn has starred in. The two other horror films that he starred in are The Stepfather of 1987 and Stepfather 2, Make Room for Daddy in 1989. Did you like the Stepfather movies?
Not a bad series.
I like the first one the best.
They made a remake that I think was a little better, probably.
Yeah, he was a demented piece of shit in that movie, man.
Yeah, very
did a
much.
Good job. Like we said, this was released during the mid-1980s cycle of werewolf movies. Others being Wolfen, The Howling, American Werewolf in London, Full Moon High, Company of Wolves, Howling 2, Your Sister is a Werewolf, Teen Wolf, Teen Wolf 2, and Howling 3.
Damn.
lot of werewolf movies in the '80s.
There were.
And that was from 1981 to 1987 only. So.
And I don't know why, but I thought the Silver Bullet was from like 81 or 82. When I saw it was from 85, I was like, that can't be right. I could have swore Silver Bullet was older than that. Any views on that?
Maybe, yeah, maybe.
But it just seemed like it was an older movie.
I do remember seeing this in the theater, though, and it was right before I went in the Army, so like the year before.
I guess I just misread when I thought it came out after, you know, it has been how many years, so.
Jennifer Connelly was considered for the character Jane, but she was already busy in Italy working on Dario Argento's Phenomena from 1985.
That's a terrible movie.
This is probably one of his worst for sure.
Agreed.
All right. The film takes place in 1976. Same year, another Stephen King adaptation was released. You know what that was?
No.
It's on the list.
I have no idea.
Carrie from 1976.
Carrie. Overrated movie.
Don't like Carrie.
Said it's overrated.
I think Sissy Spacek did a fucking fabtabulous job in that movie.
You may have. There's some of these movies you're going to have to do for midweek episodes, I think.
Oh, I wanted to talk to you about something about the midweeks too.
Oh, hell.
When we're done here. So I don't
How much more trivia you got?
Let's see. It's the ninth Stephen King film adaptation from the '80s. The reason this movie did so bad, because it suffered poor marketing. Uninspired post. The poster is not that good of a poster, really.
No, it don't really show anything.
Yeah, you can't really see nothing. Like I said, Uncle Red, the 1980 MGB midget. All right. That's about all I got for trivia. Oh,
it was going on too long.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it then. Okay. So, what are your final thoughts on this, Carl?
Well, let's take a little gander at this Blu-ray here. 4K. Right. I don't know when this came out, because the Scream Factory's been mass releasing movies in 4K for the last 2 years.
2019, I believe it came out.
The 4K?
No, the Blu-ray.
I'm talking about the 4K.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The Blu-ray I never bought from the Scream Factory, and I don't really know why. I do have a 4-pack of Stephen King movies, and it was in there, I think. No, it wasn't. I actually had that on DVD. I never got the it's not in the 4-pack. I'm lying to everybody. I just never got the Scream Factory copy. I was at Movie Trading Company and saw this in the new release section, so I guess this is fairly new, and I'm like, I don't know why I don't own this on Blu-ray, so let's pick it on up. The special features were a little disappointing. They just did a couple interviews with people and not a whole lot there. The 4K looked really good, though.
They really didn't do that kind of shit back in the 80s, though.
Well, no, the Scream Factory goes back and does new stuff.
Oh,
they did interviews with people.
Okay. Yeah,
it was a 2023 transfer from the original camera negative in Dolby Vision. And they actually did a commentary track. But there's not a whole lot of features.
Who did the commentary? Stephen
King?
Doesn't even
say on the back.
You didn't listen to it?
I didn't have time to go back. I don't ever listen to the commentary tracks.
I can't stand doing
that. Oh, I like them. I just don't ever have time to do it. Like we were talking about earlier today, I just have hell watching these movies before the mid, you know, before we do the show for the week.
I hear you.
But it looks good in 4K. Very crisp. That's how I'd put it. So I would recommend it. And yet again, the Scream Factory steps up to the plate and hits a home run. And I gave you my damn sorry looking DVD copy, didn't I?
Hey, it's in good shape. It played.
It did play.
I watched it on the DVD to see the difference between that and on 1080 on Prime or Max. It was on
I'm
Max.
I'm sure you saw a big difference.
Yeah, it was a big difference for sure.
Sometimes it's hard to see the difference between 1080 and 4K, but
well, the DVD's in that 4.3, you know. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that was an old copy. Like I said, I don't know why I don't think it ever came out on Blu-ray until the Scream Factory did it. And that was probably when they were mass producing movies, and I just flat didn't buy it because I kind of wanted to get the Hammer films, which were rarer. And a bunch of them are about to go out of print from the Scream Factory, I read today. So
really?
There you go. Yep.
So
they lost
them while they're hot.
So that's my last. There's really no soundtrack of any significance in this movie.
Not really, no. Just normal oohs and ahs, you know.
Yeah, but it's a good 4K copy, and if you can find it cheap, I'd say pick it up. So, final thoughts. Me or you first?
Go ahead, since you're still talking.
Yeah, it was my birthday movie pick, since you wanted to do a werewolf movie. Silver Bullet is a very cheesy 80s movie, is what it is. And that doesn't mean it's bad. It means it's fun, and it's a very fun movie. It's hard to take it serious in 2023. I don't know. I guess in the 80s, I would have took it more serious, but now it's just more fun than anything. Compared to, like I've mentioned before, some of those other 80s werewolf movies that took things way too serious, I think that's where this movie's strength lies. Gary Busey was wonderful in it. The ad-libbing he did was great. The preacher dude played a really good role. And overall, I think this movie is wonderful. It's wonderful 80s cheesy fun. You want me to rate this on silver bullets?
Yeah, how many silver bullets are you going to give this, Carl?
Well, the only thing I can find, it does slow down in the middle a little bit. I guess I could give Silver Bullet a 4, actually. 4 silver bullets.
Okay.
I have good memories of this movie, and I enjoy it. It's probably my favorite 80s werewolf movie.
All right.
It might be in my top 5 werewolf movies if we ever did those lists again.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm giving it a 4. I haven't gave anything a good rating like that in weeks and weeks.
No, you haven't. So, okay.
But it is cheesy as fuck. I will. Yes. That's the disclaimer.
Well, that's where I'm starting out on it. It's very, very cheesy for sure. But all the main characters, I think, did a really good job. Gary Busey, especially. I've always loved Gary Busey. It's a shame that he's went downhill all the, you know, over the past few years.
Well, shit, he's 70 something years old now. Even if he hadn't had an injury, he might have went downhill.
Yeah, for sure. But still, you know, I've always,
I know what you mean. I agree.
Always liked Gary Busey. He did an awesome job in Buddy Holly, the Buddy Holly movie. He played that to a T, man. And was nominated for an Academy Award for it too. So, big fan of Gary Busey for sure. Everybody else, all the main characters, they all did a good job too. Does it hold up today? I don't think it holds up, but it's a very fun movie for being a horror movie. A little bit of comedic in it too, a little bit. In some part,
it sort of maybe reminds me of Fright Night just a little bit.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there,
but I don't think intentionally it was, because Fright Night was intentionally supposed to be humorous. I don't know that this was, it just turned out that way, but they seem sort of like good partner movies, Fright Night and Silver Bullet.
Sure. But yeah, like I said, I seen this when it first came out in the theater back in the day. And this, when I watched it the other night, I watched it twice. Watched it once one night, and then I watched it again the next night. And that's probably the first time I've seen it since I've seen it in the theater, to be honest with you.
Wow.
For sure. So, good fun movie. Silly 80s, you know?
Yeah, like I said, it's what all these kids want to watch now with Stranger Things and all this shit is 80s retro. Well, why watch the retread 80s retro when you watch the real shit? And Silver Bullet is the real shit.
Exactly, exactly. But anyway, with that being said, I'm going to give it a 3.5. 3.5 Silver Bullets.
Good job. 3.5 of 5.
I enjoyed it again when I watched it. So, yeah, it's a fun movie.
Yeah.
Good story to it.
It is a good story.
I totally recommend watching it for sure.
Yeah, it's worth watching. And again, I'd probably catch ship for slamming on American Werewolf in London and the Howling. And again, those are not bad movies. I just find them very slow and sort of a bore. The effects are 50 times better than this movie, but they're just not as fun.
Exactly. Just,
I don't know. It almost could be like a Hammer film of the 80s if Hammer were still making movies.
Maybe, yes. Yeah, for sure. I can see that too. So, all right. You got anything else on Silver Bullet there, Carl?
Nope. Remember, my Silver Bullets are fake and toys, so don't think they're real. That's my disclaimer. Okay. And I don't know, how did I get the red eye anyway here?
Oh, Jesus.
Look at that thing.
What's that little spot down there? Was that from the fall, too?
No, that spot's always been there.
Oh, yeah?
That's the mark of the
mark
devil.
Mark of the devil?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, I wanted to thank a couple of people.
Oh yeah, you've been going to do this for 2 weeks and you keep
forgetting. Yeah, that bought t-shirts from us, man. We see Kevin Donovan, got Donegan. He bought a shirt. He's down the Atlanta, Georgia area. And our home hunter friend Candy Jonker bought a shirt. And somebody else bought one, but they haven't either got it yet and posted it on the group page or what, but somebody else bought one too just like a week ago. So
three shirts in a week.
Yeah, thank you very much, and appreciate it, and thanks for supporting us for sure. And
hell, I think I got like 5 of these shirts now. I've got like every one you've ever released. They progressively get better too. I will give you all the credit in the world.
Oh shit. But anyway, thanks guys, we appreciate it. And check us out on all the social medias. Join the group. We post some cool shit in there. So, guess that's it, brother.
Yeah, that's about all we got for this week. And we may or may not have a midweek episode. It depends on technical difficulties or not.
Technical difficulties. All right, everybody. Thanks for watching, listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Stay evil.
Stay evil, everybody.
I gotta talk to you.
You won't let go of it, will you?
I saw what I saw.
Psychotics are more active when the moon is full. And this guy's a psycho. When they catch him, you're gonna find out he's just as human as you and me. You have got to get this idea out of your head. There are no such things as werewolves. The Bible tells us to fear the terror of the beast.
I am scared to death.
What are we gonna do?
I think I know.
Who
want you to turn this into a silver bullet.
Tech, you're gonna shoot a 44 bullet at anyway. Ain't out of silver.
How about a werewolf?
The moon is full. You better watch it.
I think he's going to come after me.
Are you ready?
You see how all things serve the will and the mind of God. You see? Meddling little.